all followers of Christ are called into a life of service for our King. We are called into a life of service for our King. And a part of our service is to be ready to defend that hope that lies within us, to defend our faith. That's what Peter tells us in the first letter of Peter, chapter 3 and verse 15. We are engaged, whether we like it or not, we are engaged in an ongoing spiritual war. And during our lives here, we wrestle against the devil and his crew. Some of his crew are spiritual beings and others are physical. They're being used by Satan. And this war will only end upon our King's return. When Christ returns, the war ends. And there's a brief time when Satan is released from his prison again, and he wages war on the earth, and then he's put down forever. We're instructed to battle the enemy with our Creator's tools. And in a series of messages that I brought here a couple of years ago, which I'll probably revisit at some point in the future, we looked at Ephesians chapter 6 and the whole armor of God. And one of the things in the weaponry of God, the armor of God, is the sword of the Spirit. That's the aspect that we're going to look at today. We're going to read from that sixth chapter of Ephesians, and we're going to hear all of those parts. But I'm going to just give you the synopsis that all of that is Christ. It's all a picture of Christ. Every bit of the armor of God is a picture of Christ. So as we're reading that, I want you to think Christ, Christ, Christ. When we're talking about the shield of faith, that's Christ. When we're talking about the sword of the Spirit, it is Christ, the living Word of God. But it's also the written Word of God. It's the main thrust of the message today. We know that the enemy of your soul will do everything possible to stop you from consuming God's Word. And there's lots of ways that he does that, and we're going to look at some of those ways. He's going to trick you into ignoring it. He's going to have you sit it on a shelf or on a table somewhere where you get to dust it off once in a while. And I want you today to remember the importance of devouring God's Word. Because in more than one place, the Lord spoke to one of His prophets and said, devour this, consume it. And the one who did said, it was like honey in my mouth. Oh, it got sour in my stomach. And I had to bring it out. See, when we consume the Word of God, when we get the Word of God in us, it comes out of us. It's a naturally occurring thing. It guides our lives from the inside. And it guides our speech, the things that we say. It guides the things that we do, the way that we behave, the way that we interact with other people, the way that we live. So if you will, I want you to open your Bible to the sixth chapter of Ephesians. I believe you'll find that on page 789 in the Pew Bible. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to begin at verse 10. We will read through verse 20. And I really believe that if we pay close attention to what the Holy Spirit wants us to hear today, we are going to leave here enriched. I want you to hear what God's Word says to your heart as we ask for guidance. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that You would open our ears to hear today. We ask that You would open our eyes to see. We ask, Father, that You would open our hearts to receive Your truth. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Hear what's written in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Trust that God will add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word. And that is a prayer also, folks, for your minister, for your preacher. Pray that God will give me the grace to open my mouth boldly to speak His truth, because there are times when I find it to be difficult. I find it to be difficult when the enemy comes so hard against me in every way possible. And I thought this week, you know, if the enemy's coming at you so hard, you must be doing something right. You must be really doing something that he wants to stop. And I'll tell you, he's coming after you. You know you're making an impact. You're in a battle for your soul and the souls around you. Not just an individual battle just for yourself. Spiritual warfare is not a fairy tale, folks. It is real. It is as real as the seats that you're sitting in. It's not to frighten you. I'm not telling you this to scare you. I want you to be prepared, and I want you to understand the necessity for using that which we call the Bible to defend yourself, to protect yourself. You can call upon the Word of God. You can speak the Word of God. You can pray the Word of God. You can call God on His Word. God, you say in your Word, I'm just asking you to keep your word. And he's just counting on you to bring it to his attention. He knows what he's written. He knows what's in there. He wants you to know it. Every one of us is either in a battle right now, or we were just in one coming out of it, or we're going into one. And that's not an original thought, folks. I've heard that over and over throughout my life as other preachers have expounded upon the Word of God. We're either in a battle right now, we're coming out of one, or we're going into one. That is the life that we live. Whether we like it or not, that is the truth of it. Almighty God does not allow you to be put more. He doesn't allow you to be put through more than you can handle. He says that His rod and His staff, they'll comfort you. But He never says it isn't going to hurt. I was talking with a member of the church here down in Florida, and he told me that. He reminded me. He said, yeah, you know, Pastor, the Lord never says it'll put you through more than you can handle. And I said, yeah, I know, Egan, but He never says it won't hurt. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes the things that God allows you to go through hurt. And He'll allow the devil to beat you up on times. We've talked about this in previous messages in this service, in this series, excuse me. You look at Job. Job was a righteous man. Starts out that way. Job was a righteous man, but God let the devil beat him up. And sometimes God lets the devil beat us up, folks. And anytime you've been in a battle with the devil and you've been beat up, you know it. It hurts. God doesn't say it won't be painless. But I believe in order to actively prepare for those battles that we will face during the course of our lives, we must embrace the truth of spiritual warfare. We must comprehend the reality that this is a spiritual war that we are engaged in. When we turn our lives over to Christ, we became a target of the enemy. Because each and every one of us is a source of salvation for souls, because we bring Christ to the world. The devil doesn't want that. The devil wants to harvest as many souls for hell as he possibly can. And those that he has, a lot of times he leaves them alone. You'll see their lives are going well. In fact, the scripture in a number of places talks about how well things are going for the wicked. And the Lord says, don't worry about them. They're going to get theirs. And that's my paraphrase, obviously. In order to be prepared, we have to embrace the truth of spiritual warfare. And the reason I say that is because if we do not embrace the truth of spiritual warfare, we will give in to the temptation not to be prepared. We must be prepared. It's the Word of God that gives us strength. It's the Word of God that nourishes our soul. It's the Word of Almighty God that strengthens us against the battle. Every day as we go through our lives, we ourselves, personally, just as John had brought up today, this young man that was found dead out here, we hear of these things and we say, how in the world could this happen? We hear of these depraved things, these bizarre and strange and absolutely immoral acts like this little baby down in Butler that was murdered. We hear of these things. How could this happen? How could a loving God allow that? People have asked me, well, there's no God. How could there be a God? These things wouldn't happen. And all I can say is those people are influenced by evil. They're influenced by demons in many cases, and we would do ourselves a favor to recognize that and pray against it. To look in the Word of God. What does God's Word say about demons? They're real. Jesus spoke of demons. He talked to demons. And some of them said, what are you doing now? It's too soon for you to send us back. Do you understand that the evil around us is being deliberately pushed upon us by the hosts of wickedness? Do you know that this is a deliberate attack? This is not some random something. The enemy of souls is attacking the church on a regular basis. Daily, I would say. And when I say the church, I'm not just talking about the people that meet in this place. I'm talking about the whole body of Christ across the globe. Some don't get to live their life out. There will be Christians that are murdered today because of their faith, whether we hear about it or not. The hosts of wickedness are deliberately pushing evil upon the church, upon the whole world. Do you know how to be saved from this untoward generation? Do you know how to be reconciled with God? It's only through Jesus Christ. This is why we celebrate the resurrection. This is why you will not hear me most often. You will not hear me call it Ishtar. Because it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we celebrate. And sometime long ago, some people in the church thought it was a good idea to hide that. Let's obscure that idea of the resurrection. Let's go with Ishtar, which was the pagan goddess and all that stuff with the rabbits and eggs, and that whole thing comes out of pagan worship. And it's hard for me when I think about the fact that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's hard for me to understand how anybody who follows Christ could get upset about us calling it what it is, the resurrection, the celebration of the resurrection. But the devil and his crew, they don't want you to look at the resurrection because that's where your hope is. That is the hope that you can share with others. That's the defense that you can use. Where do I have my hope? It's in Christ. It's in His resurrection. It's not in some bunny somewhere. It's not in some eggs. And I'm sorry, folks. I was raised in those traditions, and it took a long time for me to battle my way out of them. But God's Word talks about the Passover. And the one time that word Easter shows up in God's Word, it is translated from the Greek word that means Passover. They were celebrating the Passover. Jesus was the Passover lamb. He became the sacrifice so that each and every one of us could have our souls redeemed. You know that people need what Almighty God offers? People need what we have. And if we learn what God offers, we learn His Word, we can share it with them. We can draw other lost souls out of the darkness into His light. Do Do you know that you're a change agent for your king? He said so. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, teaching them everything that I've taught, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And every time somebody tells me, we don't have to do this or we don't have to do that, and Jesus said to do it, I bring it to their attention. Well, this is what Jesus said. And if they tell me, well, that's not really what he meant, I say, well, you're not reading your Bible right. If Jesus said it, he said to teach it, he said to do it, he said to preach it, then we're to do and preach and teach what he said. Simple. Because it's a spiritual war. And every trick of the devil's been used throughout the last 2,000+ years to turn Christians' attention away from the victory of Jesus and onto themselves. Onto these buildings, onto what we do instead of what he did. You're a change agent. Do you know where to get the tools and the information that you need to bear change upon this world? Only in the Word of God. That's the only place you're going to find it, folks. You're in training to be his servant. Oh, I know that'll knock some people down. You know, I've been in the Word since I was 15 years old. And I don't know it all. None of us do. But His Holy Spirit teaches us. His Spirit teaches us. We're in training to be His servant. And I hope today that each of you walks away with answers to those questions that you have. And the questions that I've posed here. Ultimately, I want you to get hungry for God's Word. I want you to be so hungry for it that you can't stand not to read it. I want you to devour His Word. I want it to get in you so that you can come to me and say, Pastor, what about this? And we can sit down and have an intelligent conversation about the Word of God. I'm not watching football, folks, and I'm not watching any of these other sporting things. I'm not going to name them all. It doesn't appeal to me at all. But if you give me something that has to do with the Bible, I light up. And that shouldn't just be me. It should be all of us. All of us are to be strengthened by God's Word in the power of His might. Everything that we need for our preparation and engagement in this spiritual war is found in His Word. Everything. And I want us to look at some of the temptations. You'll know them when I say them because you've been tempted by them. Wouldn't be any way I could know him if I didn't get tempted by him. You know, the devil uses these things to keep us from picking up the victor's sword. You've got better things to do, right? You've got better things to do. Your favorite show's on TV, right? You can't pick up that Bible. Come on, after all, I got to see what happens here. I know, it stings. We all have Bibles around the house, right? But we're just too busy to read them. Right? We got better things to do. Did you ever think that maybe that busyness is the distraction that the devil's throwing at you? To keep you from learning how to walk in the victory of Jesus? The enemy doesn't want you to learn how to walk in victory. The most intellectual among us, those who have got intellectual prowess, of course I don't belong to that group, but there are people that do, and they can be tempted to ignore God's Word because the devil tells them they're too smart for that. I had a lawyer one time that I worked for, and I know I've said this several times in the time that I've been in this church. We were sitting in his Mercedes-Benz one day, and we were talking about something. I said, thank God, about something. I don't know what it was. Just an automatic, thank God, he said. You don't believe in God, do you? You're too smart to believe in God. And I said, you're too smart not to. And as we went on talking, he was saying all kinds of things about no God, the fairy tales and all this stuff. And I said, now, wait a minute, lawyer. Counselor, you can't make those statements without some way to prove it. So I want you to prove it. He said, prove it, prove it, prove it. I can't prove it. I said, that's right. You can't prove there's no God. So you shouldn't make that statement. I gotta go. Kicked me out of his car near the end of our relationship. Right before I came here, as a matter of fact. I was working as a paralegal, assisting with cases. But anyway, back to the point here. The devil uses a lot of temptations to keep us out of God's Word. The devil will tell us we already know it. I've fallen for that one. You already know it. You don't need to read that. Yes, I do. We all do. Got to increase our knowledge through the words of the Bible, His words, His written word, inspired. The devil will say we already know it, but we can continually learn new things. As I said, I've been reading the Bible since I was 15 years old, and I continue to learn new things. Wow. The devil says it's too hard to understand. You can't understand that. That's not for you. Leave it for the scholars. Let the pastor read the Word. What did Jesus say? The Holy Spirit will teach you. The Holy Spirit will teach you. Now, as you read the Word, you may not comprehend everything that you consume. But let me tell you, when it gets in you, it starts to work from within. God will reveal it to you. A lot of highly religious people that don't want you to read the Word. Say, that's better left for the professionals who comprehend it. I'm not one of them, folks. You already know. I'm not going to tell you to let the professionals read the Word and share whatever their insights are about it with you. I want you to read the Word, and I want you to come to me and say, Pastor, what's this? What do you think about this? There's those who sell religious instruction. And they want you to pay them for it. So they're going to tell you. You need to learn from them, right? It's ABC Religious Instruction School, BCD Seminary, whatever. They want you to pay them to teach you what they think about the Bible. But you could learn from God Himself by reading the Bible. He'll teach you. I'm living proof. I didn't have any religious education. I didn't go to seminary when I was 15 years old, and God had me on the streets preaching His Word. His Word, that's the key. Not some interpretation of His Word. Preaching His Word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There's only one way to heaven, through Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection made the way. The devil will also claim that you need to understand Greek and Hebrew to know what the Bible really means, and he'll warn you against reading it because, after all, you don't know the base languages, so you can't comprehend the Bible because, after all, you're not a scholar. But I'll tell you, God opens the pages of His Word to those who diligently seek Him. And He will reveal everything that you need to know. It doesn't mean you'll get to know everything that's in there, but you will. Learn what you need to learn to get through the battle that you are facing. As I said, I had no training before God put me on the streets with a Bible in my hand preaching it. Any of you can do the same. God can use you. Many believe the Bible is boring, and therefore they refuse to read it because, after all, it's so boring. I've heard people say that. Oh, Pastor, I can't read the Bible. It's boring. It puts me to sleep. I said, well, read it and sleep on it. Well, let me tell you something. Anything you can find on your television to pique your interest, you can find in your Bible. Anything. I don't care what it is. All right? One of the big lies that the devil uses to stop people from reading the Bible is he claims it's been translated wrong. Oh, I've been hit with this one. The translation. Well, I'll tell you what, I like the King James Version of the Bible, and I find it to be as close as possible as any translation that we have. As close as possible. to the original language. And I love my Bible. I want to read my Bible. I want to learn what God's Word says. You have to trust Almighty God. And you have to plead with Him to open your understanding to receive the truth. Before you open the book, when you take your Bible to read it, God, please open my understanding. Give me something to read, Father, and I will... And there's people that have like yelled at me because I'll say, hey, I'll open the Bible, just flip it open, and I'll start reading something and see what God has to say to me. Now, there's nobody can tell me that there's something wrong with opening your Bible randomly, if you want to call it that, because the Holy Spirit's going to guide you. Unless you don't have faith that the Holy Spirit can guide you, then call it what you want. You can do it systematically. You can open up a book and start reading that book and read it all the way through to the end. You can read from the beginning to the end. You can read this book any way you want, and God is going to speak to you through it, and He's going to strengthen you for the warfare that you are engaged in. He will. You read God's Word. People will tell you, oh, it's outdated. It's unrelated to our times. Everything was so different back then. Right? It's all different. But let me tell you, folks, every battle that we're engaged in have been fought before and won. Ultimately, the victory is in Jesus. We are operating from victory, not toward it. Now, in our individual battles, we may be seeking victory, and we may not always get the victory that we expect, but we can trust Almighty God to keep us in His care. As you read God's Word, remember, it's written, nothing is new under the sun. It's not outdated. It's not unrelated to what we're living. It's exactly what we're living. It's identical. If you really dig in and you start to see that the challenges that those people at those times were going through, we go through the same challenges. All of the sins that are listed in the Word of God are all there for us to learn from, because other people have been tempted just like us, and many of them gave in to the sin and they had to repent of it. Just like us. Trust Almighty God. Plead with Him to open your understanding. The Spirit will guide you. Those battles that we're fighting have been won before. We can win too. The devil will tell you that it's contradictory. It's divisive because it opposes certain lifestyles. Because God doesn't broaden the spectrum. Yeah. God's Word has prohibition. It has rules for living. The devil tries to trick us into believing, just like he did Eve, that God's way isn't the best way. God says His way is the best way. He has laid out parameters for human behavior, for humans to interact with one another and with Him. He's laid out those parameters, and as long as we operate within those parameters, we're doing best for ourselves and for everybody else, and we glorify God. It's when we step over the boundaries that God has set up that we're dishonoring God, dishonoring ourselves, and dishonoring others. God shows us that in His Word. The devil will tell you that the Bible causes disagreements. Even though it's the best way to live, he'll say it causes disagreements among scholars and religious leaders. That's why we have all these divisions in the body of Christ. After all, this one thinks it means this, and that one thinks it means that, and the other ones think it means something else. Those divisions, I believe, have been deliberately put upon the body of Christ throughout the centuries by the devil himself, who was operating in men's flesh. It tricks us into believing that God's way isn't the best way. Christ said He was going to build His church. His church would prevail. What the devil doesn't tell you is that he brings the confusion among people. He's the one that sows the confusion, because God's not the author of confusion. Who is? Satan's the author of confusion. If we learn the Word of God, we learn that when we see confusion, wait a minute, there's confusion. This isn't of God. Pretty simple. And when we're interacting in our day-to-day lives and we come up against a confusing situation, we can immediately go to prayer. We can go into the Word of God and seek His will for our lives. Because the devil's the one that's sowing that. No matter what the devil and his demons say to try to tempt you out of reading the Bible, it is your best tool for Christian warfare. Nobody is beyond reading and studying it. No one. Okay? Nobody. No matter what level of reading, because now we even have audio Bibles. We can play the Bible. I can play it for you right now. You could hear the Bible. You could hear every single word of it. Whatever version you want, you can find it. Doesn't matter. It was written by people just like us. Nobody's beyond reading and studying it. None of us. It has something for all of us. And those people that wrote it were inspired by the Holy Ghost to record what God wanted us to know. God, in His infinite wisdom, seeing beyond all time, says, here's what I want you to have. And we say, no! I'm too busy for that, God! I've got something better to do. Oh, but God says, no, it really is the best thing you could spend some time on. The divine work of literature was written over the span of thousands of years and crossed geographical boundaries. These people didn't know each other. When you look at the number of authors that are found in the Bible, some of them didn't know one from another. Now, some of the ones in the future knew the ones from the past. But when you compare the manuscript evidence that we have for the Scriptures, it far exceeds any other literary work that survives on this earth to this day. The manuscript evidence, in other words, the source documents, the earliest documents, we have more, in fact, for this Bible than we do for Shakespeare's writings. Some of Shakespeare's writings had to be flubbed. They had to be filled in. They had to be made up because they didn't have it. They didn't have a complete record of what Shakespeare wrote. But for the Bible, we have it. And the funny thing is, when new things turn up, like these Dead Sea Scrolls, they match. Can you believe it? They match! Oh, there's some little typographical type errors from time to time. Somebody put a jot and put a tittle in the wrong place or something. But let me tell you, folks, when you look at the Word of God, it has survived thousands of years. It is the number one bestseller of all time. Don't let it just sit there. Pick it up and read it. Get it into you. More manuscript evidence than for any other literary work on the world. And there's no other writings in the world that are as well preserved. Can you imagine that? God did that. People can't do that. You look at what people have done and you see, okay, the only one who survived all of history is the Bible. You got to say it was God. Now, reading your Bible will turn you into a solid follower of Christ. A solid follower. Not a wishy-washy follower. And there's coming a time, folks, whenever the world, the whole world, is going to turn against Christianity. Let's see. Oh, is that starting to happen, isn't it? We're starting to see that, aren't we? Oh, that's right. And that was foretold in the Bible. But the Bible will turn you into a solid follower. Solid follower. Not a religious fanatic. You're not going to be hypocritical when you see what God's Word says. It's never a waste of your time to read it. There's never anything better to do. Regardless of what people think of you or how they might look at you, Almighty God is blessed by filling you with His truth. Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And to keep them, we have to know them. And to know them, we have to learn them, and to learn them, we have to read God's Word, because that's where they're contained. Get a red letter Bible and read all the red letters. That's what I preached from whenever I was a teenager. I'd open up and read something that Jesus said. Well, this is what Jesus said. You saying you're a Christian. You say you're a follower of Christ. Let's see what He said. He said this and this and this and this. Are you living up to that? Because that's what He said. If you love me, you keep my commandments. You do what I say. If you love Him, you'll do what He says. That's what He says. Simple. Hear what's in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. The anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. That anointing is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of Almighty God has come upon you, will teach you as you go into his word. Now, it doesn't hurt to have a preacher or teacher. Somebody who helps you to reach your potential in God's Word. But the Holy Spirit's going to guide you. Jesus said, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. All? Let me see. Did I get that right? My eyes are a little buggy today. He shall teach you all things. And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said to you. He was speaking to his disciples. That's written in John chapter 14 and verse 26. He was speaking to his disciples. And he's saying the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and he's going to teach you everything. He's going to enlighten your mind. He's going to give the ability to comprehend what it is that Jesus taught. Christ has blessed true believers with the Holy Spirit. If you are indeed a follower of Christ, you have been blessed with his Spirit. With His Spirit in us, we learn from Him. The Spirit's truthful, teaches us everything, especially to remain one with Christ. What leads us out of fellowship with Christ? Sin. Simple. It's that simple. And, you know, had a debate on Facebook that came up in somebody's Facebook feed about a guy that posted, I am a gay Christian minister. That's what he said. I am a gay Christian minister. And somebody said, that's an oxymoron. You can't be gay and a Christian minister. Those two things are like oil and water. It's not the same. And this dialogue went on and on and on. And I simply quoted the scripture. I didn't say my opinion about it. I just simply quoted the scripture. The scripture says God doesn't like that. The scripture says we're not to do that. The scripture says what the scripture says. And it amazed me to hear how people circumvented the scripture. They're going around in circles. Doing all this stuff that said this and that, their own thoughts. They didn't bring any scripture that said that my posting of scripture was correct. They couldn't correct the scripture, so they spoke about it differently than what it intended as far as teaching human race. And that's what we see the devil doing, confusing people's minds into believing that somehow they can be Christian and be a murderer. Ongoing. Practicing murderer. Killing everybody that comes in their path that they don't like. Oh, I know, we don't hear about that, right? We're not hearing about those kind of people. No, we're hearing about the people who choose to live contrary to God's word in one fashion and claim to be God's children. It doesn't work. Not according to the Bible. And we need to pray for those people. As Connie said, let's pray for this young man that is accused of murdering this baby down in Butler. Let's pray for this young man, even if we are outraged about this whole situation. With the Spirit in us, we learn from him. If we say we have fellowship with him, it's written in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6. I'm almost ready to wrap it up, folks. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We walk in darkness. What's darkness? Sin, wickedness, iniquity, whatever God says it is. Not what we say it is. We don't get to redefine it. We are not authorized to change what God calls sin. Okay? We have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness. We lie and do not the truth. It's the definition of hypocrisy. It is lying. Who are you lying to? You're lying to yourself. You're lying to God. Lying maybe to the Holy Spirit. That's not one that I want to go on. I'll tell you right now. When I think about Ananias and Sapphira, and Peter said, why would you lie to the Holy Spirit? How much did you sell your house for? Oh, and you're going to give us this much. Oh, wait a minute now. Didn't you sell it when it was in your possession? It was your house. You don't have to lie to us about it. But they lied. And they died. In 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 2, verse 21, it's written, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. And I can add to that, because God's word makes it clear, nor is any liar. Jesus called the religious leaders of his time liars. He said, you're of your father the devil. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither with whatsoever works abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life into God's eternal kingdom. They don't make it. That's written in Revelation 21:27. And then in Revelation 22:15, it's written, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Let's not lie about who we are, folks. If we're God's people, let's line up with what God says His people do, how they live and how we are. And in closing, I want to beg you to pick up the sword of faith every day, even if only just for a few minutes. Don't just pick it up. I don't go, oh yeah, I can tell Pastor I picked up the word today. I want you to read it. Any of it, a piece of it, a chunk. Spend 5 minutes even. And I don't want to put a limit to it. Spend a little bit of time reading God's Word. Just get it into you. It is so nourishing. Put a Bible in every car. You know, we're called to pick up the Word, which is the sword of the Spirit. If you got a Bible in your car, you stop in traffic, you can pick it up. Wow, thank you, Lord. Read a verse. Get a Bible app for your phone and use it. I know a lot of you got smartphones. And you can get a Bible app for free or a couple dollars, whatever it is, and you can read it. You can learn to use it daily. Get a Bible program for your computer or your tablet. eSword.net. Free. Doesn't cost you a penny. Now for the tablet, it's a couple dollars because of the software or something. I don't know. It's still worth it. And having that, I can open up the Word of God every single day, and I'll bet you can almost read this from there. Okay? My eyes aren't that great, folks. But I can read the Word of God. I call this the illuminated Bible. Because it's lit up. I can read it at night. Don't need an outside source of light. It's right there. Right in front of me. I love it. And I want you to love it that way. I want you to be so engaged in God's Word that we have those powerful conversations about what was Jesus saying here? What was Paul talking about? What did Peter mean? What did James say? What did Jude have to say? Let's talk about what Isaiah preached. Let's talk about what Jeremiah preached. Let's talk about what Ezekiel preached. Let's talk about what Micah and Nahum spoke of. Psalm 119:9 tells us our way is cleansed by the holy word of God. Read Psalm 119. Read it. It's a long one. It's going to take some time, but trust me, it's worth it. 119:11 tells us, thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. We taught that one to our youth group. It was one of the first scripture texts that we read. We taught them to memorize it. Thy word have I hidden mine heart that I will not sin against you. My soul melts for heaviness. It's written in 119:28. Psalm 119:28. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. God's word strengthens us. Why would we want to walk around weak if we could be strengthened through the word of God? So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in thy word. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Who wouldn't want light on their path? Who wouldn't want their feet to be guided? Think about it. A lamp to my feet, a light to my path. I'm not going to stumble if I can see where I'm stepping, right? Think about that metaphorically, folks. You're all walking through life. You're battling in the Spirit, whether you realize it or not. You need God's light on your path, so you make the right decisions. You make the right choices. You don't make those choices that are going to get you in trouble. Sanctify them. It's written in John 17:17, Jesus praying to the Father. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God's word beats the liar every time. God's word beats the deceiver every time. God's word destroys the destroyer. God's word helps you and me to overcome with the truth. So get into His Word. And as Michaela said, wield that sword of the Spirit. Okay? Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are Your children. We know, Lord, that You provide us with Your truth. You give us everything that we need in Your Word. We know that You gave us the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. We know, Lord, that You teach us all things and You will bring all things to our remembrance. Help us to get it in there so we can remember it. Help us not to be too busy, Lord. Help us not to be distracted. Help us, Lord, not to fall into all those deceptions. Even when it's hard to understand, Lord, help us to read it. Help us, Lord, not to leave it to others to read the Word. Help us not to worry about those root languages. Help us, Lord, to pick up those Bibles that we own. Help us not to ignore Your Word. None of us are too smart for it, Lord. And none of us are too dumb. I'm living proof of that, Father, and I thank You for that. Give us a new hunger for Your Word, Lord. Give us a new hunger for Your truth. Give us a new will to spend time in Your Word. But as we go into this time, Lord, that we are prepared for a life of service to our King, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's open our hymnals to number 234, Wonderful Words of Life. Number 234. 234.